It is your money, and welcome to the program. Reminding you, if you have a financial question for Peg or Bruce, you can call this number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that number is 1-888-6-ADVICE. You can also email questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Right now, though, you can call or text our studio line at 651-461-9226. Now, here is Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor Peg Webb and the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group and Financial Advisor Bruce Helmer. Hello to both of you.
Good morning, Susie. Good morning, Bruce.
Hello, Peg. Hello, Susie Jones. Hello, listeners. Peg, you know, what we're going to talk about today, we frequently mention on this show, as well as, you know, in one-on-one meetings and wherever we are, public events and whatnot, we talk a lot about the Wealth Enhancement Group roundtable of specialists. And we're going to do that today. In fact, we're going to get some roundtable members actively involved in the show. We can hear directly from them. But, you know, Peg, when we started this show, you know, 26 odd years ago, I was very sensitive to the idea that I never wanted the show to be a commercial or self-promotional. I wanted it to be educational and informative and not just be a commercial for wealth enhancement. Now, when we talk about our roundtable, it could be suggested that we are being self-serving, but I look at it this way. I don't know how all financial advisors practice within our industry. I know there's a lot of good companies and a lot of good advisors besides at Wealth Enhancement Group, but I do know what we do and how we do it. And I think it is appropriate to share that with the public, that this is something that's available to you if it's of interest, if it makes sense to you. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper today into the Wealth Enhancement Group Roundtable.
Yeah, and I think we've set this up quite well, Bruce, because back in May, we did a show that was what's it like to work with an advisor. So that's kind of a basis of a start. And then you were out last week and we said, how do you assemble a team of advisors? So now this is kind of the third part of this, just bringing it full circle to, you know, not just advisors, but the theme last week was, how could one person do it all? And so I think this is just a good reminder to everyone. I like how what you said. This is how Wealth Enhancement Group works. I'm with you too, Bruce. I mean, I'm 25 plus years now, and I don't know a lot about other people other than we know so many people in our industry. So I pick their brain, like, how are you doing this? What are you doing? How's your firm taking care of this? So this is something, though, that I'm quite proud of, is that this roundtable existed from the day that the doors opened at Wealth Enhancement Group. Bruce?
Yeah, and the reason it did is, you know, look, at the risk, again, of sounding immodest, I think I'm a pretty good advisor. I've been doing this for over 40 years, and, you know, I think I'm, you know, I've lasted this long and achieved some things because I'm pretty good at it. But I also recognize that I don't know everything. And isn't it nice to have a business model and an infrastructure where if there's things that I don't know the answer to, I have somebody on my team that can provide that answer. I don't have to go to an outside third party. I don't have to guess. I can always give my client the best possible advice, because I have these specialists within our own company. And when we started Wealth Enhancement, that was the vision, that was the goal, and it seemed obvious to us that that's an appropriate way to do business. But I also realized that there was probably no one else that I was aware of doing business like this or had a business model like this, but it just seemed obvious to us. Peg, last word for you, and then maybe we get our guests involved.
Well, yeah, because the theme was really it's so complex today, and not that it wasn't before, but I believe like our choices are so much broader, and there's lots of uncertainty out there, and it's really high stakes. you know, for our clients, because they're trying to build their wealth for their future and a lot of times their family future. So the way that it's structured, and I mentioned this last week, is that every client has an advisor. That's their main point of contact. And then the advisor can reach out to these specialists. So I'm excited to hear Kate and Joe that we will have on today. Bruce?
Yeah, first up is going to be Joe. Joe is actually, and I think, Peg, you work directly with Joe. You kind of introduced him to the firm and mentor him a little bit. Tell us about Joe, and then let's get Joe involved.
Sure. Joe Guy is a director of our insurance. And Joe actually came to Wealth Enhancement Group with tons of experience. Since 2005, he's been focused on providing insurance strategies to investors in life insurance, annuities, long-term care, disability. He joined Wealth Enhancement Group in January. It took a little bit of convincing and time to get him to say yes, but he's a chartered life underwriter, chartered financial consultant. He earned his Bachelor of Science in Economics from the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Business. And just a great person that I'm proud to be able to have mentor relationship with him. So welcome to Joe. Could you tell the listeners about the range of services that the Roundtable offers, your particular role on the team, and how you work with advisors and clients?
Well, thanks, Bruce. It's great to be here with you and Peg. I'm very happy to talk about what the Roundtable does and how we help advisors and their clients. The Roundtable includes credentialed advisors from the following disciplines, all under one roof. So we do financial planning, investment management, company retirement plans, retirement income planning, estate planning, employee benefits programs, business owner planning, insurance, which is my specialty, tax strategies, tax preparation, management support. I myself serve on the Roundtable as Wealth Enhancement Group's Director of Insurance. The Roundtable typically does not work directly with the Wealth Enhancement Group clients, but the client advisors reach out to us regularly with specific client challenges. Many people think insurance as a wealth management context is complicated or only something that very wealthy families and businesses need. But I would argue that that's not true. At a high level, Wealth Enhancement Group's insurance department helps our clients and advisors when it comes to life insurance planning, disability income products, long-term care strategies, as well as fixed annuities. We're here to serve as kind of the partners behind the scenes when working with the advisors and identifying what the client needs are, identifying which products serve that client the best, and going through our due diligence to make sure that we find the best product solution for the client at that particular moment. As you can understand, the insurance industry is always evolving and there's always new products and new features introduced daily. It's our job here at the insurance department to stay abreast of all those changes and always stay current with our advice and product offering. Also in my role, I'm often asked how insurance fits into comprehensive financial planning. When I think about this, I think there's two portions of a financial plan. And I often talk to advisors about this approach being one is the sprint and the other is the marathon. So when we meet clients, there's usually a lot being done immediately with the client, from rebalancing portfolios to understanding cash flow to making sure they have a proper budget so that they're saving properly, as well as identifying things in holes in their coverage, like with life insurance or disability insurance. It's a great opportunity to build a lot of trust and get a lot of things done immediately for a client. So in my mind, that's the sprint portion of the things we get done within the first year on working with a client. You build a lot of trust and rapport with the client and getting things done and checking the box off the checklist. The marathon, though, gets into longer strategy objectives and goals. Like, for instance, reaching retirement. That doesn't happen overnight. It's years and years of consistently saving, properly investing, and making sure you keep those eyes of that long-term goal. Along with college planning, maybe there's plans for succession strategies for a business or other things like legacy planning and wealth transfer. Those to me are all long-term strategies. And therefore, I think of them as a marathon, not the sprint. So why do we consider life insurance? Well, there's many reasons. You may have debt and you don't want to leave to loved ones and you would rather have it paid off. You might have a spouse and or children who are not independently wealthy. You're still working and want to accumulate more savings for retirement than you otherwise are allowed to in a qualified plan. And sometimes the tax efficiency of insurance can help. Some of us may also owe estate taxes or inheritance taxes to the state when we pass, and therefore we want that liquidity of insurance to provide those assets to pay those taxes. You may want to mitigate tax exposure when planning a smooth transition to future owners of a business, amongst partners, or amongst family. You may also just want the tax advantages of insurance to cover emergencies if something were to happen unexpectedly. Insurance offers creditor protection, right? So any asset or cash value that you have in life insurance is protected from creditors as well. Other forms of insurance may be helpful depending on your situation. We do a lot of disability insurance planning, especially for white-collar employees. Think of doctors, engineers, attorneys. And one area that we're really focused on in growing is our long-term care reviews. We think that a lot of clients that are getting older are in need of planning for not only their, you know, retirement goals and not outliving their money, but we also have to address any costs due to medical care and long-term care. So long-term care insurance has become very prevalent, especially for that baby boomer generation that are now in their 60s and 70s. We do a lot of business planning, whether it be key man or buy-sell insurance. Cyber and E&O or directors and officers insurance is very popular nowadays. Another question I get a lot is how much insurance does someone need? It all depends. It all depends on the person's individual situation, their family, their business, their personal situation, along with their financial goals and objectives. It's a good idea to review insurance coverages at least once a year. We should be doing a deeper dive probably every 2 to 3 years. Anytime you have a life change or an income change or a net worth change, there's probably a need to have a reason to look at your insurance as well. Tax law changes have an impact on whether we need to update our insurance coverage amounts. And last but not least, insurance ultimately helps ensure that your financial life is protected in case of the unexpected. So make sure that you address it. Our advisors here at Wealth Enhancement Group do a very good job, not only helping you achieve wealth and grow your assets and get to retirement. They also look at how we protect it from the unexpected events like death and disability and sometimes long-term care needs.
Hey, Joe, we're going to have to leave it there for now. In the interest of time, we want to make sure we have enough time to listen and chat with Kate Meyer a little bit in the first half of the show. And then, Peg, maybe in the second half, when we get listeners involved, we can also kind of latch on to some of the key concepts that Joe and Kate share with us. For those of you that don't know Kate, and if you're a frequent listener of the show, you've heard Kate on the show before. She's a financial planner. She's in the Wealth Strategies Group at Wealth Enhancement. She's been with us since 2007. She's a key core member of the roundtable. She's recognized within the firm as having tremendous technical expertise. She has a BA in economics and French from Cornell College, and she got her JD from Hamline University of Law, where she concentrated on estate planning, tax planning, and elder law. She's invaluable, Peg. I know you and I have both used her a lot. Peg, anything you want to say about Kate before we introduce her?
No, I think that's great. She is a frequent listener, but I would say to Kate, can you please tell us about your role within the team and the types of estate planning issues that you help work on for clients?
Sure. Thanks, Peg and Bruce. I'm happy to be here again. You know, it's kind of been a while. So my goal and the goal of my team is actually to help advisors and their clients understand their existing estate plans. So which could be through their current documents that they've already had drafted through attorneys, or if they don't have their documents, letting them know how their assets are going to pass the estate statute. And then once we help them understand their current plan, we then work with them to make sure that those plans either meet their goals or determine what they need to do to change those plans to ensure that their current goals are being met. I mean, sometimes their plans probably were perfectly fine when they were originally drafted and something has changed. And so we help make sure that you know what types of changes to make so that when you go to your attorney, you're confident in what you're talking to your attorney about. Beyond helping clients meet their known goals, we also help make sure that their plan is set up to deal with those unknown and unforeseen issues as well. So this can include incorporating your tax situation and the tax situation of your potential beneficiaries, cash flow needs. Make sure you're not giving away too much money now in an estate plan that might affect your ability to continue meeting your own retirement goals in the future. Risk tolerance. There's some might be some plans that look absolutely great on paper, but if you're uncomfortable with any aspect of those plans, it might not be good for you. So then we can look at alternatives to meet, you know, what you are comfortable with in your own plan. And then, of course, just helping you meet your legacy wishes. So by working with my team, our overall all-around knowledge of both estate and financial planning helped make sure that all these issues are addressed together. You know, the tax issues, the cash flow needs, risk tolerance, instead of having each specialty work in a vacuum. So that makes sure that everybody is working together and not one aspect isn't working against another. And beyond working with advisors and their clients, we also just engage with the advisors at Wealth Enhancement Group to educate them on different planning techniques, keep them informed with law changes, particularly now with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and how that might affect their clients, and just generally act as a resource for their more general estate planning questions. Now, talking more generally about estate planning, some of you may be thinking your situation might be too simple. You don't really need a plan. However, no matter how simple you think your situation may be, you likely will still benefit from having some formal plan in place. Doing so will help you name the agents for your healthcare and your attorney, in fact, in case you're unable to handle your own finances during your lifetime. You name somebody else and dictate the types of decisions they want to make on your behalf. If you don't have these types of forms in place, the court will have to do that for you. Help ensure your executor doesn't have to post bond. A lot of people don't know that if they don't waive this bond in their documents, their executor actually has to post up some money in the event that something gets messed up in the estate plan. You can help use tools to avoid probate. You could pass your assets in a more tax-efficient manner. And you can control how and when your beneficiaries may receive their inheritance to help protect against overspending, worries about that upcoming divorce you just sure is going to happen with your kid, or potential future creditors. And then most importantly, having an estate plan in place ensures that the correct people get your assets. A good illustration actually is a story I read in the newspaper recently was about a woman who was going through a divorce and had started the process of updating her estate plan. Unfortunately, she hadn't finished that plan before she passed away unexpectedly, just before the divorce was finalized. Because she hadn't signed her documents before her death, her ex-husband ended up getting all of her assets. And so that means her children didn't get the assets, and neither did any of her other important people in her life. So, you know, this just illustrates how important it is to make sure your plan is updated in a very timely manner, because you don't know what might happen to prevent you from doing so in the future. So now we've been talking about estate planning, but haven't really gone over what is involved in that estate plan. So there are several essential documents you want to ensure you put together during your lifetime, kind of as I mentioned before. If you have a durable power of attorney and healthcare directive, those are only good during your lifetime. They stop at the moment of death. But the people you name in those two forms are the ones who are going to make those decisions for you if you become incapacitated and unable to do so yourself. And like I said before, if you don't have these documents in place and become unable to manage your own affairs, a court will have to name somebody to make those decisions in your stead. I mean, this is even if you're married, but your spouse is going to have to go to the court and petition to be named. So this is time consuming and costly. And the court may actually end up naming somebody you would not have wanted to have named because you didn't have your wishes known anywhere. And then at death, you know, the first document that you need to have in place is your will. So according to a 2021 Gallup survey, more than half of Americans don't have wills, which means that their assets are going to pass according to state law. And state law might not reflect your wishes. And this also slows down the management of your assets. An executor has to be named and your beneficiaries have to be identified and all that, whereas your will would have already done that. And even if the only asset you have is your home, I mean, you still need a will to ensure that the home or the proceeds from its sale pass according to your wishes. And don't put this off thinking that you're young and healthy, you can always complete this later. Because with the exception of a drawn out disease, most people die at least somewhat unexpectedly. and without the forewarning to complete their documents in time. And then after the will, another document you might want to consider is a revocable trust or irrevocable trust, but I'm going to focus more on the revocable trust because that's more of a standard estate planning document. It's not essential, but the revocable trust can help you avoid probate and maintain more privacy about the amount of assets you have and how they pass. A lot of people told me that they think that having a will means that they avoid probate, which is not true. You actually need to go that extra step and have a revocable trust and have your assets actually titled into that trust and or have beneficiary designation, just also bypass a will and pass outside of probate. And then speaking of beneficiary designations, these are also very important. So a lot of people might update their estate plan, but forget to update their beneficiaries. And it's important to know that beneficiaries bypass your will or revocable trust. So if your beneficiary doesn't match the rest of your documents, that beneficiary form is still going to be the one that the assets go to. So this is particularly important, you know, again, talking about a divorced spouse. So you get divorced, get remarried, but your beneficiary is still your ex-spouse. Your ex-spouse is going to get that account. Your current spouse is not. So you always want to make sure that your beneficiaries are updated or reviewed at least annually, and then updated every time you update the rest of your documents. So going on, you know, now that we've talked about estate planning and what our department can do for you, just, you know, that's the advantage of working with Wealth Enhancement Group, you know, like Joe with his insurance and my group with our estate planning. And we can help you, you know, every client experience. Anytime an advisor comes with us with very specific client questions, we can help evaluate those or even just the more general questions to help the advisors make sure that they're the most knowledgeable around the planning. Just to make sure that all of our clients have their financial needs in order and everything works in concert with their goals.
Welcome back. It is Your Money. Reminding you again, if you have a financial question for Peg or Bruce, you can call this number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The number 1-888-6-ADVICE. We'll email questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. But for the rest of the show, you can call or text our studio line at 651-461-9226. Now here once again, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor Peg Webb and founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, Bruce Helmer. Welcome back, both of you.
Thank you, Susie Jones. Thank you, listeners. And listeners, we're going to get you involved and take questions from you. But before we do that, I want to again thank Joe Guy and Kate Meyer from the Wealth Enhancement Roundtable for joining us, giving us some insights as to what they do on the roundtable, how they help our advisors. They were kind enough to join us today, but they're not able to stay with us. Peg, before we go to listeners and start taking questions, anything you want to say about what Joe and Kate had to say?
Well, I think they're a good example of what our roundtable, that just scratches the surface of the expertise and the specialty that they each have. I love that individuals are excited to be so knowledgeable about just one piece of your financial plan. Why I say that is because there's so much complexity to our job as advisors that I just want to repeat one more time. There's no possible way that we can know it all. And I know on the show, Bruce, a lot of times when we get these questions, we're able to rattle off the answers quickly, but that's just because we do the job and we've done it for equally with you 40 years. So, but we can't just memorize something 40 years ago and it be the same. It is forever, ever changing. And then you throw in the uncertainties out there. And once again, in the beginning, I said, I'm not, you know, I look really calm on the outside when I meet with clients, but I am kind of like a duck that swims on the water and then your feet are just flapping underneath that you can't see, because these are truly people's livelihoods, right? And to give advice, and I have goosebumps right now because it's such a tremendous job, but you have to know a lot. And if I didn't have this roundtable of specialists at Wealth Enhancement Group, I don't feel like I could do as good of a job if they were not available. Bruce?
Yeah, I just want to quickly mention, and then I keep promising that We're going to start taking questions from listeners, Susie, and we will. But I just wanted to say, you know, with regard to Kate, Peg, I can't count the number of times that because of Kate's expertise, we found something in a client's legal document that wasn't doing what they thought it was doing or what they wanted to do, or Kate had an idea that was clearly very beneficial to the client that no one had ever told them about before. So the value added of her technical expertise, again, I don't even know how many times she's helped me give the best possible advice to a client. And in Joe's case, I can just imagine there are some people listening right now that might be cynical and say, well, you want to sell insurance and make money. The amount of effort that the insurance team has provided to me for my clients in reviewing existing long-term care or existing life insurance or some other existing insurance and saying, here's the most efficient way, here's the best thing you can do with that policy. And these are policies they didn't even buy here. They bought somewhere else, but we give them advice and expertise and give them options on how to maximize the efficiency. It's service. It's advice. It doesn't have anything to do with trying to sell anything. Do we sell insurance? Absolutely. Do we get paid for it if we do? Absolutely. But it's only if that insurance, selling that insurance, is appropriate and a value add for the client. And the other thing I want to say really quickly, I'll use myself as the example. I've told this story before. In 2017, I wanted some more life insurance. I wanted a term life insurance policy, and I went out and got a quote from three different companies, including Wealth Enhancement. And Wealth Enhancement came back with the best coverage for the best price and the easiest underwriting. And so this, our team, our insurance team, is really, really, really good at what we do. But it's not just about selling stuff. It's about service and advice. And that's a lot of the work that they do. And I'm, again, I know this sounds self-serving, but I'm just so proud of our business model and our structure and our roundtable and the work that they do and the help that we give to our clients. Peg, I'll give you the last word, and then let's go to listeners.
Yeah, I think I'm ready for listeners.
All right, 651-461-9226. A texter writes, could you please explain about a life estate plan? And that is from Sheila in Litchfield. Good morning, and thanks for writing in that question.
Peg, oh, thank you, Sheila. Peg, life estates, that's something that is not used as much as it once was, but you want to take this one?
You're right in that I don't hear that terminology that much anymore. And I think generally it's probably just to do with estates and trusts. You know, that's the terminology that we use today. And I kind of wish Kate was able to stay, but when it comes to the dollar amount that you can die with and not have to pay Uncle Sam, that's the big topic today, right? Because of the sun setting in January of 2026. So a lot of what we're doing today is kind of reviewing the client's net worth, seeing if they should make any changes before January of 2026. And what I'm talking about is right now we can each die with about $14 million a piece. Like even if it's a joint couple, it would be $28 million. And that is if there isn't any changes before January 1st of 2026, it's going to go down to $7 million. Now, a lot of people listening are, oh, big deal, right? I mean, when you look percentage-wise, how many people have that kind of net worth? Well, because there's, you know, about 300 million gazillion people out there, there's still a high number of people that we do financial planning with that are looking at this seriously, because if there is no changes, you know, they may have to pay on their death a tax. And a lot of times that tax is somewhere between 30 and 50% of your wealth. So it behooves you to do some planning today versus just waiting and waiting to have this sunset happen. Bruce?
Yeah, and Peg, the life estate concept, they're still out there, so we still need to, you know, when it's applicable and somebody has one and they ask us about it, you know, we go to Kate and her team and we still have to be able to help and advise. But I think someone in that situation that maybe created a life estate a decade ago, today the attorney would draft, and for some reason I'm drawing a blank on what you call this, but it's a real estate transfer with a something deed or whatever. And there's an acronym that we use, and I'm totally blanking out what that is. But that's why I said it's not something that's as common anymore. So they're still out there that were drafted a while ago, but somebody with that same situation today, the attorney probably wouldn't draft a life estate. They would draft a different legal document that accomplishes the same thing. Do you know what I'm talking about, or am I totally confusing you?
Yeah, I think you're talking about maybe the home, right? The house or the, you know, getting that to your kids in maybe an efficient way. Another thing is there's a lot of talk about Medicare, right? Like how many dollars can you have if you're going to go on, if you're going to go on Medicaid? And so that maybe what we do is we ask Kate and then we'll have come back next week and just say, okay, these are the things that we are knowledgeable about when it comes to life estates. Cause I think it's more of a general term that kind of encompasses quite a few different things. Bruce.
I got nothing else, Susie.
All right, 651-461-9226. Last week, Peg was on alone, and she had a question about the Federal Jobs and Tax Act expiring. We were talking last week, Peg, about gifting, and someone was curious about that $18,000 limit and would that change. This person is back today asking it again. If you have an answer to that one, that would be good.
Oh, I do. So I actually looked it up after the show because we were talking about the 18. Okay, so we each individual can gift $18,000 to whoever they want, right? And you could give $18,000 to 100 different people if you wanted, and it just means that you don't have to fill out a tax form alerting the IRS that you did that. So that's the amount that our clients typically like to stay under, because then you don't have to report it. One of the things that I did look up is, because the question was, is that dollar amount going to change ongoing? So in the past, historically, they've taken kind of a percentage based on inflation, you know, so they've been increasing that number. And so for 2025, it's going to be $19,000. They've already announced that. I don't have a number beyond 2025. We've got this these big changes happening with the Tax Act sunsetting. And so I have a feeling that'll have something to do with having a number sooner than later. But if they just do what they used to do and just add a little bit of dollars for inflation, then the number may go up maybe to 20,000 in 2026. It's yet to be seen. Bruce?
Yeah, and again, that's all, you know, subset information of the fact that, you know, we've been talking about it. And again, I think, Peg, we're going to do an entire show on this topic pretty soon. But this idea that taxes are on sale right now, and that the law, unless Congress does something, which I think is unlikely, unless Congress does something to extend the 2016, I think it was 2016 Act, will sunset at the end of 2025, and things will go back to the way they were in 2016 and 2026, which for a lot of listeners, a lot of people might mean slightly higher taxes again. So we're trying to be proactive and plan for that now. And there's a lot of different avenues, a lot of different roads, a lot of different directions this can take. And this is all part of that bigger issue. So you're going to be hearing a lot more about this in the next, you know, year and a half until 2026, including updates if Congress does anything and does make any changes or does do any extensions. But again, it's going to come up a lot. And I think, Peg, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it in the plan somewhere in our marketing meetings that this is a topic we're going to devote an entire show to in the future?
It is. And actually, both Joe and Kate are doing a webinar that we'll be announcing as well.
All right. 65. Yeah, I was going to say 651-461-9226. A texter has written in asking, do all clients get this central review as part of your offerings?
I know who that is. He probably didn't. I don't remember his name. So, yeah. So, Susie and Peg, I'll throw it to you next. But, yeah, we have a listener, and we appreciate him listening. And he always asks some variation of that question or finds fault or criticism because he seems to think that if every single client doesn't go through this formal roundtable review, that somehow that is a shortcoming or a fault on our part, and we're not doing our job.
Okay.
And the truth is, not everybody has the same complexity of a situation. You know, Peg and I have both been doing this for 40 years. We were pretty good at what we do, and there's some clients that the situation is straightforward enough that we don't need to bounce it by another advisor or an attorney or our insurance specialist. We can handle the issues ourselves. Now, even having said that, and I'll let Peg comment on what she does, I rarely do anything on an island by myself. I will always get input from my team. Nicole, my financial planner on my team, at a minimum will have input. I might bounce it off another advisor in our Eden Prairie office. So it might not be a formal, quote unquote, roundtable meeting, but I will consult other specialists or other advisors or the planner on my team or all the above to make sure that I've covered all the bases and I'm giving the client the best advice that I can. But the fact that we even have the roundtable available to me is a huge strategic and competitive advantage over others in our space. It's not a negative if not every single potential client goes through this formal roundtable session. But again, there's a lot of non-formal meetings where, Peg, we've talked about this on the show. An advisor might put out an email to the entire advisory group and say, here's my situation. Anyone have any ideas? And multiple advisors from all over the country will chime in with their knowledge, their expertise, their previous experiences. It wasn't a formal roundtable meeting, but we picked a lot of brains there to make sure we got the best possible advice. You want to comment, Peg?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And I would say that the roundtable actually, whether I reach out to them or not, they educate us and give us the confidence to be able to go to the client and make some recommendations. It's interesting to follow the roundtable and the questions that they have because we keep those so we can refer back to them. And you can't even make this stuff up, right? There's just so many situations that I've never heard of that is interesting for me to be able to read through the case to say, wow, that is complex. And just that kind of knowledge of being able to review the cases helps us, you know, coach other clients that might be in a similar situation. Susie?
651-461-9226. That is the number that you can call or you can text as well. A texter writes in, do you need a will if you have a TOD that's paid for your house and a POD on a bank account and designated beneficiary on retirement accounts? That's the question from the texter.
So, Peg, talk a little bit about payable upon death and transferable upon death and beneficiaries and how that all pertains to wills and trusts and legal documents. How do you mix all those things together?
Yeah, I want to just say good job to the person texting in because it looks like they've done a lot of the detailed work that we recommend that our clients do. If you have an account at a bank or you have a brokerage account that's non-IRA, not a tax-deferred account, then in a lot of times with the banks, you can do what's called a POD, which is a payable upon death. And then with a brokerage firm, you can say TOD, which is transfer on death. Those types of beneficiary listings that you're able to put on the accounts will help you avoid probate. And it will go generally a lot smoother to the people that you want to get the assets. The tougher thing is, you know, with IRAs and things, well, there you can put a beneficiary on all of those accounts and it'll go directly to who you name. But the question was, do you need a will? A lot of times people struggle with their real estate and their other assets outside of these types of accounts I just talked about, the bank accounts, the brokerage accounts, the IRAs, those kinds of things. They're a little bit more difficult to get a beneficiary listed on it. So we recommend that everybody have some type of will so that it would just pour over. So if you didn't capture everything, at least you would have a document that would say, okay, now there's this left. You know, who do you want that to go to? Bruce?
Yeah, and I'll just add really quickly that, you know, the other question then that comes up is, well, first of all, the beneficiary or the TOD or the POD, that supersedes whatever a legal document says if they don't say the same thing. And that leads to the question, then why do I even need a will? And Peg already answered that really, really well. There's a lot of things you can't name a beneficiary on. The will or the legal document covers those things that you can't name a beneficiary on. But then, Peg, the other question, and maybe you, I'll throw it back to you, and maybe this is the last question we have time for today, but then the question becomes, do I just get a simple will or do I get a trust, and how do I know which one to get? And we've got about a minute, a little less than a minute.
Yeah, and I would seek advice. I don't think it's easy to do it on your own, you know, so contact an attorney, maybe ask your friends who would be a good person to talk to, and your financial advisor. Your financial advisor can look and see, you know, where there's holes in your estate plan. Susie?
Very good. And if people are listening right now or texting in and did not get their question answered, we want to make sure that they can write this down, yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. You can email them and they'll get right back to you. You can also call 1-888-6-ADVICE. There were some questions we did not get to here, so we'll make sure that people listening will call that line or send that text or email to you as well. So thanks, guys. Have a great week. It is Your Money, Wealth Enhancement. And it is yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com if you want to ask a further question and a follow-up. See you next time.